Hello, welcome to Live Well Lifestyle Seminar with Terry A. Today is our day to talk about, not specifically about clay and clay healing, but more about how we can support our healing through our attitude and our thoughts and our degree of happiness. So it's an interesting topic and venture we've run into. And it's about the spiritual aspect of healing and your attitude toward things. And this month I came across an interesting article in Natural News by Andres Morowitz. His book is called Cancer is Not a Disease. And there was an article with some excerpts from his book that I'd like to share with you. Cancer is but one of many possible ways the body forces you to alter the way you see and treat yourself, including your physical body. Well, I'd agree with that. It certainly makes you stop and take a look. You may either make out cancer as something dreadful that leaves you victimized and powerless, or see it as an opportunity to stand up for yourself and your values and self-respect. This inevitably brings up the subject of spiritual health, which I believe plays an at least as important a role in cancer as physical and emotional reasons do. Well, it's definitely a contributing part of it, as we all know. Having seen thousands of cancer patients, Andrea says, over a period of 3 decades, I began to recognize a certain pattern of thinking, believing, and feeling that was common to most of them. To be more specific, I have yet to meet a cancer patient who does not feel burdened by some poor self-image, unresolved conflict and worries, or past emotional conflict, trauma, that still lingers in their subconscious mind and cellular memories. I believe that cancer and the physical disease cannot occur unless there is a strong undercurrent of emotional unease and deep-seated frustration. Cancer patients typically suffer from a lack of self-respect or worthiness and often have what I call unfinished business in their life. Cancer can actually be a way of reveling the source of such unresolved inner conflict. So it can be a pathway to delving into and resolving inner conflict that we've not been conscious of. Furthermore, cancer can help them come to terms with such a conflict and heal it altogether. The way to take the weeds out is to pull them out along with their roots. This is how we ought to treat cancer. Otherwise, it may reoccur eventually. So get to the root or the core of the problem. There is no doubt that emotional stress can shut down your immune system and not only prevent your body from healing, but actually make you very ill. There is medical evidence to show that during severe stress, people can die from a massive heart attack without any prior heart condition or clogged arteries. Now that's pretty amazing on the power of our emotions. All this being said, how do we get to the root of the problem? That resentment or anger you are still holding on to. That cavity of decay that is still eating at you from your subconscious. You may not even be aware of what it is. So my intention for today, it is my dominant intent to look for things that feel good today. No matter where I'm going, no matter what I'm doing, no matter who I'm doing it with, it is my dominant intention to look for what I'm wanting to see in myself and others, to look for things that feel good. Now, that can take on a challenge in that you're seeing something that's hurtful. Maybe you're watching the news about the death in Syria and notice how you feel in your body. But in spite of that, it's already happened. In spite of that, can you maintain your happiness? somebody insults you, says something degrading that hurts your feelings, in spite of that, can you be happy? Somebody is rude to you, in spite of that, can you not allow them to take your power? Can you maintain your happiness? Those are the challenges that we face on a day-to-day time. And if you have children, you have a lot of those, because it's so easy to get in your children's business and not see them as enough. Becoming anger-free is giving your power away, or becoming angry is giving your power away. It makes you victim to the person or situation you perceive as doing you wrong. To be angry is to allow someone or thing to ruin your happy moment. Don't go there. Maybe easier said than done. My mother used to get so wound up listening to politics that she would literally start cussing the TV. She had a high degree of emotional anxiety. And ironically, she developed cancer of the throat. So her vocal cords, her speaking, she felt like she couldn't have a voice in what was going on in the country. And, you know, that might be a conclusion. I don't know. It was one of the things. She did smoke, and actually the doctor said for a physical reason that her habit of drinking hot coffee was probably more damaging and an onset to the disease than smoking. And I still happen to think that maybe her anger, her pent-up anger, that she wasn't a voice in things happening in your community. Well, there's so many sides to things, and once you come to the determination that everything in this world is perfect and the world is constantly in the motion of cleaning out and rebalancing itself, and that things that happen to you are really for you, we are so close to it we can't see it. We can't see the big picture until we back off. And it may take years for the evolvement and the maturity to come to see that that challenge actually made you stronger and was a gift to you in your life. It may have led you to another career, other people in your life, maybe a move to a better place. So having that wisdom comes with time, and we need to develop it. A thought for today is, I choose to be at peace with myself in all ways. I accept myself completely as I am, knowing that every decision I made in the past or present was perfect for all concerned. I have no resentments or no blame and no anger anywhere in my body. Now, oftentimes the things we're dealing with is self-conscious and we're not aware of it. How do you get to those? Well, I sat with that a moment this morning to think about, who am I angry about? And I thought of an incident that happened 62 years ago. And why this popped in my mind, I don't know. I had to laugh at it. But my next door neighbor was Dorothy Sue, and she and I were very close and played together all the time. And there was a girl that moved a block over behind us named Barbara. And Barbara started coming and playing with us. And one day we were at Barbara's. And you know how it is when you have three kids together, one feels left out. And Barbara wanted to play with Dorothy Sue. She didn't like me for some reason. And I probably gave her reason for it, though I can't recall now what it could have been. We may have both been jealous over Dorothy Sue and wanted her attention. And we had climbed up in a tree, and she took her gum that she had been chewing and mashed it into my hair on the top of my head. Well, that was a hurtful thing. And when I thought about it this morning, I thought if I saw her, I would be very defensive and still hold that action against her. Now, I would bet if Barbara's still alive today, she doesn't even remember the incident. And, of course, I had to go home because I couldn't get the gum out of my hair. She embedded it quite well. And I had to go home, and I think we had to cut a little of my hair out to get it out. So I held on to that and didn't realize I was still carrying that around. And it could be something as little and insignificant as that. And now I can look back and laugh on it. But when I thought of her, I just felt the shift in my body. And that's how you can recognize when you're holding something. So how do you let it go? Well, I drew a Louise Hay card for this session, and it said, "How I allow others to be themselves. I do not try to heal my friends. I do my own mental work and heal myself. This is the best thing I can do for others." And I love that saying. I allow others to be themselves. Now, I had another situation just this week that I had some anger and resentment toward, and I'd hired this lady to help me do a TED Talk to condense everything I know about clay into a 15-minute TED Talk, and they had some really strict requirements for doing that. And the first thing is we got off on the wrong hook. When I hired her, it was at a meeting, and she said she was going to be gone and busy for a couple of months and would get back to me. And I said at the same time, well, I'm pretty busy too, and so that's all right. And I assumed she would call me, and she assumed I was going to call her when I was less busy. Well, my values, my customer service is different from hers. I would have contacted after 2 months and said, just wanted to know how you're doing on your schedule and when you think you'd be available to work on your project. Well, she didn't think like that. Maybe she thought she would be interfering with my time schedule, and I'd let her know when I got to it. Finally, after 6 months, I wrote her a letter, and I was probably a little stiffy with it because I was a little angry that I hadn't heard from her. And I said, you know, this isn't the way I do business, and if we're not going to do anything, I'd like my money back. Well, she immediately apologized for the miscommunication, and we scheduled a time. And I wrote an intention that I could work with her and be at peace and that we could come to a conclusion. Well, I had to write my talk down and send it to her, and she was going to review it. Now, this was probably less than a 15-minute talk, so it wouldn't take very long to read it. And the first thing, and then she called and we had a talk. And the first thing she said is, "This talk is not appropriate for a TEDx talk." And found out that in April, TEDx had issued a letter stating that anyone who talks about GMO or healing foods is a health hoaxer and spewing pseudoscience. So if it's something that wasn't scientifically embedded in deep, deep research, they didn't want to hear about it, and it was considered a promotion. So she spent 30 minutes telling me why it wouldn't work and offered maybe to do a talk on alternative healing, the value of alternative healing, and talk about a plethora of different ways, vinegar and honey, aloe vera, herbs, mention clay, but it wouldn't be specifically about clay. And I said, well, that doesn't really align with my goal and my purpose and intention for giving this talk. So we were sorry to stalemate on then, and she was also going to help me on one of my dessert talks. Well, I had wrote her a letter, and I would have given her money back or part of it back, and she had mentioned that she was Jewish, and I really saw it in that she said, well, I gave you my time and my expertise to tell you that it wasn't available and offered to help you write something else. So no, there is no refund. And I noticed I had a little anger about that, and I wrote her back, and I think I said something that hurt her feelings, and I meant it in jest, and she took it the other way. So I got to practice letting go of that, and I told her if she really needed that money that bad to keep it, or maybe donate it to a charity of her choosing. And just, I said, I, you know, we didn't connect, and I didn't intend to insult you in any way. And I apologize for that. If I offended you, that wasn't my intention. And I think it would be best if we just let it go. So I got to do the forgiveness exercise on her. And this is an exercise, this is our closing exercise for the week. And it is an exercise, and we may have used it once before, but I think it is so valuable to be able to do this. I forgive you for anything you may have done to me. I forgive myself for any mean or hurtful thing I may have done or said to you. I give you permission to forgive me. I forgive myself for having taken anything you did in a way that was not useful to me. Now, there is such release in that, and it's not necessary to know what the hurtful thing may have been. It's important to have the intention of forgiving and letting go, and forgiving means forgetting. If you carry it around, you haven't forgiven. You're still carrying it. So the word for the week is FIGO, forget it and go on. Just FIGO. So write that word down and keep it with you. Put it on your a little piece of paper by your computer. FIGO, forget it and go on. Let it go. Let things roll off you like water off a duck's back. 1068 years from now, are you going to even remember the incident? Is it that important? And fortunately, the money wasn't that important to me that I had to fight for it. I could let it go, and I am confident that God will send me more and or more opportunities. Opportunities are always out there for me to use my skills to make more money. So that was my attitude on it. I totally let go of the money and her, and I felt such great peace. When we're talking about people upsetting you, I think one of the things we get into is our children's business, because we want to lead, guide, and direct them all their lives. And I had to notice that it was easy to let go of my oldest daughter, but my youngest daughter, that was my baby. And when she goes, I've lost my identity. I'm not there as a helpful mom. She's ready to go out on her own in the world and have her adventure. And I constantly see her as not being enough. And I had to let go of that vision and think, you know, this child was raised on the farm. She has lots of common sense. She's shown it many ways all of her life. And she bounces back. She's friendly. She has friends. One day I gave her $100. This is when she was in college and she was working her way, and I had a little extra money back then, and I gave her $100 thinking she would get something for a house or some clothes or something she needed. And now she was working at a nursery, a plant nursery, and she lived in a rent house, and on the property there was a room in the back garage, a room, an upstairs room. The upstairs floor had an outside entrance. So there were three or four kids living on the property, and she had the main house, and it had a porch. And she had plants everywhere, and her gardening skills, I mean, it was a little bitty postage stamp yard that didn't have much grass on it. And she had an old rusty wheelbarrow she filled with dirt and had plants just growing out of it and hanging down beautifully. And she had really done a great job on the house. And when she took the money, she said, "Oh, great, Mom, I saw this bird bath last week. I really wanted it, and it's only $80. Now, a bird bath is not how I thought her using, saw her using the money. I mean, the child has three plates in her house, and they don't match, and they're chipped. No silverware, and she's going to spend her money on a bird bath." Well, I had to let go of how she spent it and realize if you give them a gift, you need to let go of that. It's theirs to do with as they want. If you want them to have clothes, go buy them clothes. If you want them to have vitamins and food, go to the grocery store and buy them groceries. If you give them cash, It's theirs to do with at their want, and you have to relinquish that. Well, I want you to know that she entertains all the time. She's constantly entertaining. People love to be at her house. It's so open. They have a card table there with an ongoing a puzzle. And people come in and just work on the puzzle a while and leave. And her porch is so beautiful. They like to sit out on the porch. And it's just a congregation place. It was for college kids. And she went on to, this was, like I say, this is kind of a beat up little house, rent house, on a small street in San Marcos. And she actually won Yard of the Month in August, the hottest month of the year. And, I mean, in the whole city of San Marcos with these beautiful houses and manicured lawns and people taking care of the lawns. I mean, she did that all on her own. So who am I to say it was wrong for her to buy this bird bath? And her bird bath was there, and she had flowers around it. It kind of covered up a bare spot in her lawn, and these birds would come dipping down, and she had birds and butterflies, and it was beautiful. It was really a beautiful place. So who's right and who's wrong? How should she have spent her money? She did it to bring her great joy, and she shared that joy. So sometimes I have to remember that I need to tend to my own business. I need to be looking at my healing and not thinking I know something for someone else. And I need to see her as whole and complete just as she is and wise enough to make good decisions. And what we want for our children, we want happiness and joy. And she has a plethora of friends who would come to her rescue at any moment. Not because she's rich or has wealth or anything fancy, but it's because she is loving and kind, and her house is open and friendly, and she entertains, and they bring the food and the dishes and the paper plates, and they have a great time. So, learning to let go. And I've been rambling on for a while, and I do want to give an opportunity for anyone to ask questions. Oftentimes on this topic, we don't get questions, but if you have something or somebody that you're stuck with, if you want to write a question about it, we'll try to look at it from a different perspective and to apply the forgiveness exercise and the go to it. Because when we let go of things like that, it's amazing what can happen. So if you're on your computer and you have a question, please enter it. Sometimes people send clay questions on Wellness Day, and that's okay too. We'll try to answer those. And it is my joy to hope that this information is being beneficial to you. And if you're on the phone and have a question you'd like to ask, if you punch *2 on your phone, it will signal me and I can open the line and we can discuss the topic that's bothering you. But can you see, given the information about cancer is not a disease, that book and the topic, the way she was talking, that it can be a pathway for you to look at your body, how you're treating it, how you need to clean it up, to eat healthier, to exercise more, and to have a better lifestyle. Okay, we have a question here. Let me open this line. Hello?
Hello, my name is Joanne, and I feel so gratified being able to listen to this topic. It was so for me today. It was so for me, especially you saying I allow others to be themselves and work with myself. The Lord is good.
Yes.
I wanted to say that. Thank you. And I do believe that what you think and the way your attitude has a lot to do with your wellness. Thank you so much for being whoever you are. It's great.
Oh. Thank you very much for acknowledging that this was beneficial to you. I really appreciate that. For me, I'm on the air talking into a void, and I don't know how many people are out there. So to know one of my intentions was that it would be beneficial to my listeners. So if there's any part that helped any of you, my goal is complete. Thank you. Thank you again for calling, Joanne. Have a blessed day.
Thank you.
And is there anyone else who would like to ask a question? Star 2 on your phone. You know, what she said and what she was talking about, I believe the way you see a person is the way they'll be for you. Are you willing to let them be more than they appear at this moment? Sometimes on the first meeting you have a bad contact, just like I did with the lady. We had a miscommunication, and it had been 6 months and I hadn't heard from her, and I was a little ticked off about it, to tell you the truth. And I let it get under my skin and get into my happiness. And so if I started into the intention of being angry at her and not liking her values, would that influence our outcome? Well, I tried to let that go and set an intention that we could work together good, and I was willing to listen and be open to it. But somehow for the get-go, this wasn't meant to be, and there was a lesson there for both of us. Now, we may not recognize it right now, and maybe it was just so I'd have a topic to talk about that I felt I needed to forgive and show you how to use the forgiveness exercise. So we can never know. But the way you see a person is the way they'll be for you. Are you willing to let them be more than they appear to be at this moment? So some of us, particularly with children, have a need to be needed. And the need to be needed helps us see others as needing us or needing our advice or not doing things the correct way, and we think we need to jump in and give them our opinion. And Byron Katie says, and I love this with all my heart, and I keep this around to remind myself, there are three kinds of business: your business, my business, and God's business. And God doesn't need our help in his business. Maybe their lives may not be going the way we think they should, but we're not in their great plan, and God knows what it is, and God is good and all is well. So, yeah, thank you very much, Joanne, for that. That was very enlightening. I'm going to see if we have any questions from our computer off audience. No, there's nothing there. Well, let's close with a little meditation. So I'm going to turn some music on. Ask you to sit back and get comfortable. Relax. Take a deep breath. And when you exhale, let go of all that you're carrying, all the burden, all the weight, all the worry, all the anger. Just breathe in deeply, sitting back in your chair with your feet on the floor, and kind of melt into your body when you exhale, letting go of all that tension that you hold in your face and your jaw and your neck and your shoulders. And on exhale, totally relaxing and puddling into the chair, totally relaxed. Listen to the sound of my voice. Today we are going to begin at the top of the mountain, because I don't want you to have to climb the hill. And on the top of this hill is a gazebo sitting overlooking a beautiful valley below. And you sit in the swing. It has a covered pad in it, and swing and gently looking at this valley, the serene green pastures below, dotted with cows and calves and horses playing, and a few sheep here and there, and the river in the background winding through the valley, a very peaceful valley, beautiful shade trees, and all is well. All is well in your world. And you breathe in and you feel the gratitude for the world you live in and the beauty and the serenity that surround you. And as you sit in the chair and gently swing, allow that serenity to fill you and be in gratitude for all the blessings in your life and simply let go of anything standing in the way of your highest good and your greatest joy. And at this moment, we are cleansing our body and our soul. We are at peace. Continue to breathe in and release deeply. Breathing out all that pent-up stuff that's deeply embedded there that we may not even be conscious of. It's not important to know where you're holding anger, resentment, or envy. It is important that you have the intention of letting it go and releasing it. And so as you breathe in, you release and let go of all the crud that's blocking your way, that's holding you down like an anchor, that's keeping your jaw set, that's keeping you angry, that's tightening your body, that's cutting down the flow of energy and circulation in your body, that's building stress and acidity. So we release this and we let it go and we forget. Forgive, to forgive is to forget. Reoccurring forgiveness is not forgiveness. And our intention is to be free from all hurtful thoughts, transitions against ourselves or to ourselves or to others that we may have done. That we just release and know that we are forgiven and all is well. And we have to do nothing to deserve this. It is your birthright. All you need to do is accept the beauty of everything in your life that has happened. And look how it's made you stronger. And just be in gratitude for your challenges, that you had the opportunity to use your creativity and to realize that you were a person who doesn't sit under the rock, but that you have hope and can always find another way to get things that you truly desire. There's always another way. I desire to travel, and I have a lot of friends that travel, and they write me about the places they travel and send me pictures. And I feel like I've been there, so I don't need to go to those places. So, you know, it may not be a direct approach, but there's so many ways to skin a cat, so to say, and to find different ways. So right now, for the next few minutes, I'm just going to let you listen to the sound of the music, breathe, and sit in your well-deserved serenity. Bask in it. Release, let go of all tension in your body, and be at peace. It has been my joy to bring you this program, and I look forward to our next rendezvous. Thank you.